All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm David Moulton.
What?
What's up? I decided this week that I'm going to be David Moulton.
Whoa. Does that make me Penn Ketchum?
You bet it does, man.
Oh, boy.
Finally, living the dream.
I know. I never thought I'd get here. I want to thank everyone for supporting me all these years.
I'm so proud.
Now, hold on while I don't read Dune. That's my big aspiration.
You gotta not read Dune.
Yeah.
And then you got to forget whether or not you read Dune.
I think I read it. I probably did.
I probably read it.
I got the gist.
There's a great line. I forget the character's name, but the guy in remember, you know that show Veep?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Great show. We watched that show at the very beginning of quarantine, and there's this great line. I won't get into it. You either know the line or you don't. But the guy goes, "I'll figure it out. I'll probably figure it out." So that's you. Yeah, you'll figure it out. You'll probably figure it out.
Can't be that bad.
Woo, famous last words right there, brother.
I know. Yeah. Now, do we get down to the nitty gritty right away?
Yeah, let's get right to it.
Okay. All right. We had some rough news over the weekend, followed by some rougher news today.
Right. All right.
Apparently, there's substantially more time to die.
And, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No Time to Die has been pushed back from its November release date to April 2nd, 2021. So it's now an Easter movie.
So we will now await the FedEx truck to deliver us our third set of dated No Time to Die materials. My question, I think the thing that we're all waiting to find out is, will they wise up and send us a No Time to Die banner that just says, like, coming soon, or, you know, in theaters, or some vague sort of nice thing? Because I think we've talked about on the show before, like, we had a great set of promotional materials for April of 2020. And then we recently took possession of a great set of promotional materials, all of which are marked November 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I have no idea if this movie will come out in 2021, but I hope that the next set of materials is just like blank.
Save you some hassle.
No Time to Die is probably coming at some point. If your local neighborhood movie theater is still even open.
Right. Yeah. So we had other news too. We all know my love for Dune and how excited I was that it was coming out on my birthday. But then it was pushed back to December. And I thought, you know what? No problem. I mean, I celebrate my birthday for at least a month.
At least.
Yeah.
Right.
So no problem.
That's no problem. Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah. No biggie. But now Dune is pushed back to October 2021. So another big pushback. Now, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, you skipped over. Did you skip over the big news story? I mean, this is
no.
There was a big news story that I know we like to kid around and employ hyperbole as frequently as possible.
What?
But there was big news that broke Saturday evening that shook, I think it's fair to say, literally shook the movie industry to the point where it broke on Saturday night. My phone started blowing up, and I was on the phone all day Sunday talking to different people in the exhibition industry, in the distribution industry, because Regal made this big announcement, which by the time you're listening to the podcast, you already know what I'm going to say. Regal's owner is owned by a company called Cineworld, and Cineworld announced on Saturday night, London time, that they will be closing all their movie theaters in the United States and the United Kingdom. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of implications to sort through. The first implication, or I should say the first thing that I found remarkable about this news, and you might be surprised to hear the same thing, this story was as much a surprise to me as it was to Disney. In other words, none of the studios saw this coming. They did not. From the people I talked to, this was as much of a surprise to them as it was to me. They did not know that Regal was about to close up.
Really? Wow.
So what's interesting is, so now we have three news stories, all of which are related. So for whatever reason, and we can debate whether or not it's the right move or the wrong move or whatever, but they're certainly entitled to do their own thing. For whatever reason, MGM Universal pushed No Time to Die from November 20th, 2020 out to April of 21. Apparently, that was the last straw for Regal. They even cited that decision, saying, you know, the studios are pulling product. The quote that Mookie made to Wall Street Journal, Mookie is the CEO. The quote that he said is, we're like a grocery shop that doesn't have vegetables, fruit, or meat. We can't operate that long without a product. So apparently, No Time to Die pushing to April was the last straw that broke the camel's back, and Regal then announced they were closing. And when I heard the story Saturday night, the very first thing I thought of is, and I'm not like joking, I thought, there goes Dune. There goes December. Like when I heard that Regal was closing, and honestly, we're sitting here today talking about Dune getting pushed to October of 2021. And I think by the time you listen to, we're recording this Monday evening, I think by the time you listen to this, there will probably be more titles that are getting pushed. So far, Death on the Nile remains on the schedule. There's a few other titles that remain on the schedule. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to start seeing some more additional titles go the way of No Time to Die and Dune. The big question mark that everybody's talking about right now is what happens with Thanksgiving vis-a-vis the Croods 2 and Soul. And I think it's fair to say that Soul will either go to Disney Plus or get moved to 2021. The detail on that that you have to watch, my friends, is if they do it to Disney Plus, then that tells you that Mulan did really well, or it might tell you that Mulan did really well. The word that we're hearing is that Mulan did not do as well. It only made like $30 million on Disney Plus. So now that's unofficial and, you know, a little bit gossipy, but I think it's going to not go to Disney Plus because the story that I'm hearing is that Pixar, the fact that it's a Pixar feature, carries a lot more weight with it, and that Disney is just going to stick it in their back pocket and wait, you know, until an appropriate time to release it. I don't hold out much hope for Soul or Croods surviving to a November 20th release date of this year. Wow. So I don't know. So that's the three big stories. James Bond gets pushed, causes Regal to close, causes Dune to get pushed.
Now, what are you thinking with the environment?
Yeah, so Penn Cinema has made the decision that we are going to stick it out. We're going to hang in there, and we're having a lot of success right now with, we talked about the drive-in a lot, but also we're having a ton of success with private screenings where you rent the movie theater and you come see either an old favorite movie or one of the new movies. We're having a lot of success with that, and we think, so I'm calling it the Bubba Gump method. Do you know what I mean? Do you immediately understand what I mean when I say the Bubba Gump method?
From Forrest Gump, right?
Right.
Okay.
You don't exactly. So the shrimp boat, the hurricane comes and destroys the entire shrimping industry.
Yeah.
And the one boat, the Jenny, the Bubba Gump boat, mm-hmm. is the only one to survive. And therefore, as Forrest said, from then on, shrimping was easy.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's going to be easy and there's no way we're going to get rich. But I think that we are currently looking at the environment going, well, if there's no Regal, if we can gobble up their business or even just some of it and combine it with, I think the difference is in June, we all agree June was a failure. We closed after like 2 or 3 weeks. I think the difference between now and June is two things. First of all, I think in June, a lot of people didn't know that we were open, and there was a lot of outdoor activities that you could choose from instead of coming to a movie theater.
Yeah.
And also, I think a lot of people are more comfortable now than they were back in June. I think we all understand the significance of wearing masks and managing it, not in a panicky way, not in a fearful way, but in a respectful way, understanding that it's contagious and airborne, and you know, you need to clean your counters, and you know, but it can be managed and still provide a safe environment inside the movie theater. So we're working on that, and that's the current position. And obviously things change. I'm emotionally prepared. I think that the release schedule for the rest of 2020 is at great risk.
Yeah.
So I'll just sort of put it that way. And I will also say, because I know we do have listeners down in Wilmington, Delaware, and out at Huntington Valley, who are going to wonder about their theaters. And I will say that all of our decisions will be made sort of case by case. So in other words, we will do for Huntington Valley what's best for Huntington Valley. We'll do for Wilmington what makes the most sense for Wilmington, and we'll do for Lititz what makes the most sense for Lititz. We're small enough that, unlike Regal, we can make decisions based on site by site. I mean, Regal, I have a lot of respect for Regal. I don't have say anything bad about them, but one of the problems of being a large chain like them, and that's like an understatement, is that they really don't have the wherewithal to make individual site decisions. So they got it. It's interesting. I feel like in a way we, because we're smaller, we were able to do something. We have been able to do something that they were not able to do, which is we've been on a limited schedule, which allows us to manage our staffing expenses, manage our operating expenses. So I think that that's an advantage that we have that probably played into Regal's, played into the challenges that Regal is facing. No news on AMC. I talked to somebody today who said that AMC has committed to 2 more weeks. But again, that's kind of hearsay. You know, we'll certainly be interested to see what they do. Both of those massive companies are in financial, what you would call dire straits. So yeah, it's a scary time for the exhibition industry. It's a confusing time for the exhibition industry. But I continue, as I have all year, to be confident that the movie industry is not something that just kind of goes away like a Swatch watch. You know, it's an important part of the community. It's an important part of our social contract. It's where we, you know, get together and tell stories. And I have total confidence in the future of the industry. I have no idea what the next 6 months holds. So it's a weird time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree that the theater is just like a bar to me. You know, like it you know, brings people together over a common interest. And maybe the difference is in a bar, you're active the whole time, whereas in a movie theater, you're kind of inactive for a period of time.
I've never thought of it like that. That's a perfect analogy in terms of like the staying power.
Mm-hmm.
Like bars and movie theaters as they relate to COVID-19 are totally different, but as they relate to being a part of the social fabric, there's a real similarity in terms of the importance that they provide any given community. Some people don't like going to bars. Some people don't like going to movies, but they're both an important part of how we come together and how we do things together. So I think that's a great analogy. I think, you know, movie theaters are here to stay. It's going to be a weird year. Some folks won't make it out the other side. And I think you would say the same about bars. You know, I think if they haven't already, we'll definitely see some bars close, and that's tragic. I hate to even think about that, but scary times. And are we going to just blow right past the fact that the chief executive officer of Cineworld is named Mookie?
Yeah. I wanted to almost stop and be like, that's not a joke. His name is Mookie Greidinger. Is that how he's greetinger?
I have no idea, but yeah. I was on the phone today with a friend of mine who's an executive at Regal, and he texted me back and said, can't talk now. I'm on the phone with Mookie. And I was like, oh, I love it. That's almost as goofy of a name as Penn.
I think it's
goofier.
Yeah, it might be goofier. Speaking of things that are goofy. You remember The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Oh, do I remember it? Are you kidding me? I start my day with it.
This is a dude situation. Yeah, I saw it. I'm pretty sure I saw it.
I absolutely saw it. Don't ask me anything about it.
Okay. Well, how about this? Do you remember Jamie Foxx's Electro?
I do.
Okay. Guess who's back for Spider-Man 3 Home Again? Homeward Bound? Is that what we're going to call it? What are you going to call
Tobey Maguire.
No, my man. It's Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
And not only is he's back as Electro in this new movie. Now, this has a lot of people talking. They're like, what does this mean? Is it going to be a crossover? Is he going to be the same Electro from the Andrew Garfield movies? What's up? Is it going to be like crossing galaxies or universes? That's what's going to happen. I think my theory is, right, this is what I want to see.
Okay.
I want him to just play Electro, but play the new universe's Electro. I don't care that it's the same actor. It's just like J. Jonah Jameson is played by J.K. Simmons. He was played by them in the Tobey Maguire movies, and he's playing him in the new... It's just because that guy plays that character really well. It doesn't have to have, like, I'm not ready. Eventually they can get over to the universe jumping stuff, but I'm not ready for it yet. I don't want to bring some things up, because if they do that, then the next thing you do is you see Sony's movies moving over with Venom and stuff. And we all know I don't care for that.
we all know how that worked out.
Yeah. So anyway, I think this is really interesting. Jamie Foxx is awesome. I definitely think that Electro was not the worst part of that movie.
I thought we liked that movie.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, I think it's fine, honestly. A lot of people don't like it. I think it was like, it fit the universe that it was in. Yeah. To me, I thought it was okay. Like, I could have seen more of that. They were building up to the Sinister Six, and
yeah,
I would have been cool with that. So
yeah, no, I agree. I think that there's no reason that Jamie Foxx can't be back as Electro in this sort of new approach. Yeah. So yeah, I'm on board. You know who I've been digging lately? Zac Efron has that cool show. Now that I'm talking about it, I forget the name of it, but it's like he travels around the world and checks out like cool things.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very kind of like crunchy, like hippie crunchy. Do you know granola crunchy? You know what I mean when I say that? Like, you know, but apparently he's going to star in Blumhouse's remake of Stephen King's Firestarter as the father of the 9-year-old pyro Charlene, Charlie McGee. I think that's cool. I could not hope for a guy like Zac Efron to have done anything different with his career. Like, he got started as like a goofy bubblegum high school musical dance kid, you know, boy, blah, blah, blah. And he sort of got away from it and sort of established himself as his own person. And this show on Netflix, I'm blanking on the name of it, but I recommend it. And now he's going to come back and do sort of a little more mature role. I think it's cool. I think he has my respect. I think this will end up being kind of a cool movie. I don't know. I'm on board.
I got respect for Zac Efron. He's got some comedic chops too.
Yeah.
Like he came back from he did some stuff like where he was played like a late teen, early 20s character, and he was just comic relief. And I thought he did really good.
Like, yeah, he was in that 17 again.
Okay. Yeah.
That was sort of like the follow up to High School Musical, and it was kind of, I don't want to say embarrassing, but it was just sort of typical, like I said before, like bubblegum type of thing.
Yeah.
He was in Greatest Showman, and hey, I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm cool with my boy. He'd be all right.
Speaking of bubblegum, you know, you ever get that bubblegum, like that zebra bubblegum? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay.
Zebra
bubblegum. It's like bubblegum you put in your mouth, you start chewing, you're like, man, this is good. But not even 2 minutes later, you're like, there's no flavor left. It's gone. You're just chewing on tar. Not that it doesn't taste bad, but there's no flavor left. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Okay. I've never heard it referred to as Zebra bubblegum.
Well, Zebra's a brand.
Okay. Gotcha. Now I can picture it. Yes. Okay. It's a little bit like throwback, like the kind you had at your grandmother had.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Even Bazooka bubblegum was like this.
Right.
You know, the flavor was gone. That's kind of how The Lion King is, the remake. Wouldn't you think?
Okay.
It's like a flash in the pan. Wasn't bad. Wasn't really sticking with you. So Barry Jenkins has been tapped to direct a follow-up to Disney's 2019 retelling of The Lion King. Now, what are you thinking? You think they're going to go with Simba's Pride, the straight-to-home video sequel to The Lion King? Pen?
I'm confused. David.
I got you.
What?
You're wrong. It's a prequel about Mufasa as a child.
You took a long time and a confusing time to build up to this. Are you telling me they did not have gum in, you know, the desert, the jungle, wherever this story takes place?
I'm talking you personally.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The experience of chewing this gum that runs out of flavor really fast.
Right.
Is similar to like watching The Lion King.
Okay, but that's where the analogy loses me, because I thought we liked The Lion King. I remember enjoying The Lion King.
For a minute.
All right.
And then you forgot about it, right?
shit, man. I don't even know if I saw it.
That's what I'm saying.
At this point, I don't even remember.
So that's just like, why would you put more of this bubble gum in your mouth?
So what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Because the show notes that we share with each other prior to the show.
Right.
Say that Barry Jenkins has been tapped to direct a follow-up to Disney's 2019 retelling of The Lion King. Oh, okay. So 2019 is the retelling.
Yeah.
There's a follow-up. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I thought you were trying to tell me they were going to try it again.
No.
Okay.
It's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
In the same computer lifelike animation that we saw in 2019 about young Mufasa.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I'm on board. I say go for it. And you know what's really driving me to say that?
What's that?
I'm going to just admit to you how shallow I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on board because I think it'll sell tickets. I think people will come out and see it. I don't care. It's not going to be a $100 million thing. Unless Barry Jenkins does something special, you know, and sort of like – and I can't think of an example right now, but you've sort of seen that – you know, like where the follow-up ends up being sort of like surprisingly great.
Okay. All right.
And the podcast at pencinema.com, I'm counting on Encyclopedia Brown to remind me of like, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of something where like there's a movie and then it's like, okay, but then the follow-up, I guess one example would be Clerks. A lot of people say Clerks 1 was like whatever, but Clerks 2 is kind of like genius.
Oh, okay.
Do you agree with that statement?
And Aliens, Terminator and Terminator 2?
Yeah, okay. All those kind of things. Oh, I got one.
Oh.
And this is going to mess people up. People are going to have something to say about this. A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
What? Did he just say that?
Podcast at pencinema.com. Let the rage begin. I thought you were going to say, I like it, and
the other reason why I'm on board, aside from the fact that I'm, you know, fantasizing about a day in the future when we're actually open and selling movie tickets. Aside from that, I'm also on board because I don't know if you know this about me, David.
I'm ready. I'm about to take in some new info about Penn Ketchum right here.
I swear to God, we have to start videoing. We have to start recording these calls because David's face was priceless. I'm dying. All right, so listen, stop fooling around.
All right.
Serious.
All right, hold on.
As my brother would say, are you for cereal? right, I want to talk cereal.
Okay.
Lucky I'm a Chimps. Big fan of a good prequel.
Oh.
I do. If you enjoy a movie and then, like, you're like, how'd that cool character... Like, you take any movie that I like. It doesn't even have to be, like, a favorite movie. But any movie that I like, I'm going to be on board for a prequel. Because I think it's just fun. I think it's just fun. Like, how did this person who I enjoyed watching in this X, Y, and Z movie, how did that person become that person? Or in this case, that animal become this character? Like, so I'm on board. I think Barry Jenkins did a good job. I think you're being unusually hard
so
on...
you're a big fan of The Godfather Part 2?
I am, as a matter of fact, yes.
All
right. And you should know about me, I'm also a big fan of Godfather 3.
Whoa.
I will stand by Godfather 3. That's for reals.
Oh, my word.
Now, I do agree that Godfather 2 is the best. And part of why I think Godfather 2 is the best is because of all the prequel action.
Okay.
Going back to old Italy and all that jazz and seeing Vito come over and... You know, how he got his name when he was going through Ellis Island and whatnot, showing up in my hometown of Brooklyn.
We got to get you talking to my aunt. She worked on those movies.
Yeah, I remember. Right. Yeah. She's friends with Spielberg, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not that he did. I know he didn't do Godfather, but I'm saying your aunt worked on those movies, and also she was friends with Spielberg, right?
I'm pretty sure she was.
Or at least worked closely with him.
Work with him, yeah.
I would love to find out that he was like totally annoyed by her. Look, What's her name? Give us her.
Well, at the time, I think she was Sandra.
Just give us the first name. We don't need people stalking her.
Sandra.
So I would love like video footage to leak out of like Spielberg going, "Oh, Sandra's here." Quick, act busy. Here comes Sandra. Like. Isn't it funny, like, family members love to tell you that they knew so-and-so that's, like, super famous, and it's always, like, I was friends with so-and-so,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, I would love somebody to, like, name-drop somebody famous and then secretly find out that person who's famous, yeah, he totally knew her.
Oh, for sure.
And also, like, dodged her around the office because yeah. She always wanted to show him pictures of her nephew, David.
Clearly. Hey, all right, back to the story of Barry Jenkins.
Yeah.
I made the jokes, but I gotta say, the problem with The Lion King
right,
was that we knew the story. That's the problem with a lot of these Disney remakes. They're fantastically visually great, but
right.
We know the stories. So an original Lion King story has a lot of room to work out well, especially with those graphics and everything.
Right.
So, all right. So I'll give it that. Now, I put this one in here because I just thought this sounds like it's right up your alley.
Right. You knew that I
was like, this is the
This one is screaming Penn Ketchum.
Yeah. This is like, if you see one movie.
Right.
The rest of your life, it's probably going to be this one. So
wait, does it have Abigail Breslin in it?
It does.
Oh, okay.
Well, but it also has Thomas Jane and Kara Hayward. And Milan Ankerman, they've joined the cast of Slayers, an upcoming horror comedy pitting YouTube personalities against vampires. Let me just say that one more time.
Okay.
It's an upcoming horror comedy pitting YouTube personalities against vampires. The story is said to follow a group of internet influencers who are drawn to a reclusive, seductive billionaire's mansion, only to find themselves trapped in the lair of an evil vampire. The only way out is to be saved by a famous online gamer and an old-school vampire hunter.
It's great because you just can't make this stuff up.
Oh my gosh. They're like, what are the kids like today? YouTube. Okay. They also like video games. Okay. All right, cool. Vampires. All right, we can do this.
But everybody respects an old school vampire hunter.
Yeah, cool.
Oh my word. What do we know about this? Is this, am I going to have to show this at the theater?
Oh, 10,000%. I mean, this could be something that shows it one, like, on one random small-time indie video on demand thing. You're still going to have to show it in the theater.
I tell you what, I'm going to offer some free advice.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to charge for it. I don't expect a acknowledgement. I don't need credit for this great idea. But let me just put this out there to anybody who has a movie that's almost done.
Okay.
If you have a movie that's almost done, no matter how shitty it is, if you can get it to me in October or November of 2020, I'll probably play it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the state of affairs in the exhibition industry.
These guys gotta hurry up and get Slayers done, because I want right. to see this movie. Come on.
And don't tell me you need time to get it right. Finish that up.
Oh my gosh.
You know what would be even better? Like, what if they did like another Tomb Raider?
I love this headline because it's so non-committal.
Right. Alicia... Wait, this headline that's in the show notes is the actual headline that you found?
Yeah.
Okay, read it verbatim if you would.
Okay, Alicia Vikander is hoping to begin to think about making a new Tomb Raider next year. So now they're thinking about making a new Tomb Raider. Not that they're that it's even on. She's hoping next year to start thinking about maybe making a new Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have friends like this. Do you have friends like this? Like, you're sitting around hanging out, doing whatever you do with your friends. Let's just assume you're like out somewhere getting eaten outside, and maybe you're having a coffee, or maybe you're having a beer or whatever, and you're sort of BSing, and your friend sort of says like, I'm going to begin thinking about putting a new deck on the back of my house.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
Right. Okay. Now, I have some friends who don't tell you. We get the opposite.
Oh.
I get a friend who, like, we're sitting around, you know, hanging out, eating some wings or whatever, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, I just put a new deck on my house.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait, what? What'd you do? And then you have other friends who are always talking about what they're going to do, what they're thinking about doing someday, maybe.
Yeah. But this is a slippery slope, because you think there's only two, but there's the third one. It says, thinking about putting a deck on. And you're like, oh, yeah. They're like, can you come over tomorrow?
No. If somebody tells me they're thinking about putting a deck on, I pretend I didn't hear them.
I'm sorry, what?
But no, I got, Mom? Oh, I got to go.
Oh, man. Oh, well, I just hope that she announces next year that she's actually thinking about it. That's the only thing I can hope.
Do you remember last year I wrote a book?
Yeah.
All right. 2 years ago, I told Amy I was going to write a book. And, you know, do you remember? She gave me advice. Do you remember what that advice was? Because we talked about it on the show.
I don't remember what she said, though. No.
All right. She said, okay, honey, that's great. You can write a book. Don't tell anybody that you're going to write a book. Don't be that guy who's going to write a book. Just write it.
Right.
And then when you're done, then you can announce that you wrote a book. And that's what I did. And that was this headline reminds me of that. Amy's advice. If you want to write a book, that's fine. But don't go around telling people you're going to write a book. Just write it.
Right. Yeah. Just make your Tomb Raider movie.
Right. Already.
Seriously.
So Alicia Vikander, we got to put a book note and remember to remind ourselves to come back next year and see.
January 1st. Are you thinking about it yet?
I'm going to begin thinking about making a new Tomb Raider. That's freaking gold.
Yeah. All right. You ready to move on to trailers?
Oh, please.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's start off with the big tease this week. We're talking 20-some second long teaser for Monster Hunter.
If you have not seen this trailer, I recommend that you go watch it only so that you can comment on it. Because here's what I have to say about this. As my friend Hal Lord would say, here's what I have. Let me say this about that. I'm going to leave the commenting. I'm going to leave the judging to you.
Oh.
You're more qualified to have an opinion on this trailer than I am. So we're going to let you decide whether or not it's a good trailer. But I'm just going to say this about that. you're watching this trailer, and I understand it's a teaser, whatever. You're watching this trailer, and then all of a sudden, it stops. Like, no, not, I'm not saying it's short. I'm saying, like, all of a sudden, like, you're watching some guy's about to, I don't know, shoot or jump or slay. I don't know what, I forget what he was in the middle of doing. But then all of a sudden, the movie, the trailer stops.
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really, it's a bad teaser.
Okay.
I'm going to say that.
All right.
They did two things. They showed guys with guns.
Okay.
From the U.S. military, which does, okay, we've been over this before, does not make sense story-wise for Monster
right.
Hunter.
Right.
And then they showed a monster. Now, the monster looked kind of cool. I'll give him that.
Okay.
I've only played one of these games, and I think I fought that monster. Not going to brag. But, I mean, if I can handle it, they can probably handle it, you know? So, yeah. That part was cool. But I think that's the general consensus around La Internet, is that the monster Wait, looks cool.
But, do you go on the French Internet?
Yeah.
That's, oh.
I use a VPN.
Oh, that's so, how you're so much cooler than the rest of yeah. us. I've been wondering that for years.
Yeah. I'm like, I browse La Internet while I eat une baguette.
Une baguette?
Yeah.
You know, the Mystery Gobble has been in France, I think.
So he's basically French.
I think he's French. I forget the deal.
Yeah, probably. I think that's all it takes. You go once, boom.
That's it. You're in.
That's it.
He's probably. If anybody's on the French interweb, it's my foodie friend, Mystery Gobble. Mystery all right, Gobble. Now listen. We go from a bad teaser trailer to a proper trailer.
Oh, trailer of the week?
Trailer of the week for me. The movie. So I'm going to admit something on the show that I shouldn't admit.
Uh-oh.
But I know people like to hear a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff at Penn Cinema.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a little bit behind the scenes. So the movie is called Free Guy, and it stars – who does it star, that guy? What's his name?
Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds okay. rep.
Ryan Reynolds. The movie is called Free Guy. It's a comedy, and we'll talk about this trailer in a minute because the trailer was great. It really filled in the gaps for me in terms of what this movie is doing.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like this was an exciting movie. So the trailer dropped, and I don't want to name names, but one of our guys, our main guy, so you probably know who I'm talking about, posted the trailer on our Facebook page and said something, you know, normal, like, you know, Free Guy opening at Penn Cinema on December 11th, blah, 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 or December 18th or whatever like that. And let me just see if I can quick pull up the text that I got. The two of us were laughing, teasing ourselves. And I wrote back to him, I saw that and literally LOL'd. So he and I were talking about some of what we talked about earlier in the show about the movie industry and our concern about future titles. So then he texts me and says, meanwhile, I'm sharing Fox's new trailer for Free Guys like it's actually going to come out on December 11th, facepalm. To which I replied, I saw that and literally LOL'd when I saw the Facebook post. So
yeah.
I have zero confidence. Other than the fact this movie apparently I think is a Paramount title, if I saw that correctly. I don't have a lot of confidence that this movie will still be standing December 11th. I pray that it does. I really hope it does. The trailer looks great. Trailer of the week. The movie's called Free Guy, and I recommend you see the trailer, and when it comes out in May of 21, it's going to be awesome.
This is trailer two.
Right. Free yeah. Guy trailer two.
Trailer one was fine, but trailer two definitely shows you more of the story. I really like the fact that, like, the idea is that he's a computer character in a Grand Theft Auto game where, like, they get killed every day, they get hit by cars, it's just their
right.
life. They don't notice it's different. They go around, they pretend everything's normal, and players are just running through, blowing stuff up. But for whatever reason, he starts to realize that he can be more. And then he starts talking to a person playing the game, and they start changing things. And I really like that, like, he tries to romance the person, and then it pans out, and she's just, like, a nerdy girl sitting at her computer desk like, what's happening?
He's like an avatar trying to romance the girl's avatar.
Yeah, right.
Right? And then it pans out and you see the actual woman who's playing the game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. It's a great concept.
Right. I think really good. Cool.
Is it a reverse Jumanji?
Reversed? Snap, crackle, and pop. You got him.
I think it's like a reverse Jumanji, except way better.
Yeah.
So then we went straight from this great trailer, Free Guy,
to
what do we call this? Like Black Misery?
Ooh, yeah.
Remember that Stephen King? Mm. No, I'm just that's pretty short-sighted because there's a lot more to this movie. But
it's a lot like Misery, though.
What'd you say?
It's a lot like Misery.
Yeah, it's a lot like Misery, except it does have... Wait, what was that movie, Angel Heart? Remember Angel Heart?
No.
Oh, with Lisa Bonet and not Bruce Willis, but that other guy. Oh, it's so good. Bruce so creepy. Huh?
Bruce Springsteen.
Right. Yeah. Lisa Bonet and Bruce Springsteen. But this movie, Angel Heart, I saw it... I was literally living in a cabin in Appalachia. Mickey Rourke and De Niro is also in it. Robert De Niro plays the devil, and Mickey Rourke's in it. Angel Heart came out in 1987, and I saw it on VHS. I didn't see it when it came out, but I saw it in VHS. I was living in a cabin in deep Appalachia, Wisconsin, Kentucky, outside of Lexington, Kentucky, working for Frontier Nursing Service. And when I watched this movie, I was like alone in the woods, and I was scared to death. And this movie that we're talking about now called Spell, actually, now that I'm talking about it, it's not like Misery. It's more like Angel Heart. It looks pretty awesome. The trailer is scary as hell, and I think this movie looks good. What do you think?
This trailer freaked me out enough that I was like, I wanted to check out, 15 seconds into it. I was like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see any more of the trailer. Like, I'm good to go.
You don't need any more voodoo in your life?
No, surprisingly not. No.
This movie comes out, and it says it comes out online October 30th, and then there's another screen at the end of the trailer that says, and in select theaters.
Yeah.
So I will probably play it, as per my previous comments.
Yeah. A good Halloween film. If you're looking for spooky, this is probably right up your alley.
Yeah, this is for real.
Yeah. Then we had another semi-spooky movie called Kindred. Now this one, the English accents were so thick, I was like, huh? Say what? Huh? Constantly. I guess the idea is that a couple get pregnant and then they try and leave the family house, but the family is like, no way, Jose. And the father dies mysteriously, and then they try and lock up the mom in a room, and it looks like there's drugs and maybe ghosts or something. And it looks really trippy. It does not look like a movie I want to see.
You know what I did while I was watching this trailer?
What's that? Anything else?
I went to the kitchen to get a snack.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, the trailer looked confusing. I don't want to say boring because that's not quite the right word, but it just felt like here's an expression, it's one of my favorite expressions. Somebody tried to put 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
It doesn't look good. I'm not into this movie at all.
Yeah, same. All right. Well, shall we move on to our movie review of the week?
Let's do it, man.
I thought this one was a winner. I'm not going to paint it perfect. I'm not saying it's 10 out of 10, but I loved this movie and recommend it to people with a slight caveat.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I also really enjoyed this movie. I had a smile on my face throughout most of the film. It's got this fun, quirky, realistic humor. It's very, very, very relatable.
I was going to use the exact same word. Very, very relatable.
And that's what makes it work so well. Like, the characters are believable for what they are doing, for their age, for the way their relationship is, for the problems in the relationships, for the highs, for the lows. Between the two characters, the way they react to things, the way they get over things. They have an argument and they let it go, or they have something and they stick to it or whatever. Like, all that seemed very real, and it wasn't, like, I thought it was going to be more laugh-out-loud funny, but it was just very pleasantly funny. Like, it had some quotable things. I know you have some quotes here, and they're perfect. That I just thought it was fun. My only problem with this movie is probably the ending. Just because I'm a guy who likes to have, like, a little bit more closure. And,
So you're going to mark spoilers?
Sure. We can mark spoilers.
Okay. So I completely agree with your review. I may have laughed more because I definitely LOL'd a bunch during this movie. But I completely agree. So at the end of the movie, they're now, I want to point out this key element. Did you notice? It was a little bit subtle, but I wonder if it was intended to be a significant detail. They go up to explore that sliver of glass in the forest. And then they both whip out their cell phones to look for help or to get a signal or to call, you know, whatever. And while they're on their phones is when the glass, like, rises and encapsulates them into the pod that eventually sucks them up into outer space.
Yeah.
So is that, like, a subtle detail? Like if they had not been on their phones at that critical moment, they would have seen the, like, little glass thing rising and presumably been able to jump out, save themselves. But they did not because of their phones.
Right.
So then they drift off up into outer space, and he says, like, have we been saved?
Yeah, and you see a bunch of other people coming up in the bulbs as well.
Right.
And then they just zip off into space.
And then it says, a little caption in the top left part of the screen says, the end.
Yeah.
And you're left there like, what?
Now, at the beginning of the movie, this is the only reason I can give it a little bit of, like, leeway, is the very beginning of the movie says, the day humanity lost Earth. Like, that's the first thing the movie tells you, is we're going to lose.
I didn't catch that.
It's like, at the very beginning, like, it starts off in space, and then it pans down to, like, the atmosphere of Earth. And right above the atmosphere of Earth, it says, the day humanity lost Earth. And then it pans down. So I knew that they were going to lose in some way, but I just expected it to be more like, here's the post-apocalyptic world. I guess we're okay. Right. Especially after they killed a poof. I thought, don't tell me this, they're going to be the ones who discovered how to kill the poofs.
Like, right. That would be too predictable.
Right.
I respect the filmmaker for ending it the way he did, but I didn't like the ending.
Right.
There were some epic all-time quotes. They were so good that I pulled my phone out and typed them into my notes.
Whoa.
So the male character, the boy, if you will, Jack, I think, is lamenting that he doesn't know how to do man things.
Yeah.
So they carry all their crap out to the fire ring and try to make a campfire and have no luck whatsoever. And you see this pile of wood that's just sitting there smoking unlit. There's no campfire.
Yeah.
There's no fire. And they're both sitting there on the chairs. And the girl says something about the fire. And he says, must have been some bad wood.
Yeah, he couldn't get it lit.
Right. And then and that led to a great scene. And then there was this great, like, how perfect from a cinematic point of view was the scene where they're both in the shower together?
Yeah, yeah.
It was so well done. And I say that because it was so, like, tense. So these two people are sharing a shower. It's not like a sexy scene. There's no, like, gratuitous nudity, which is great because that would have ruined the whole tone of this movie. But these two people, this couple, are in this little tiny shower, soaping up, shampooing.
Taking turns under the spigot.
Taking turns under the spigot. I did catch a what you call, like, a gaffe where she rubs all the soap on her face and then she says something and then the camera shows there's no soap anywhere around her face. So that was distracting to me. But anyway, these two people are crammed in this little tiny shower and then, like, what? They kind of get, like, in a fight, right?
Yeah.
And, like, all you want is for the guy to, like, leave, like, get out of the shower, but they both stay there in that little tiny enclosed space having this, like, it's not a full-on fight per se, but this really intense and uncomfortable argument.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's tense about it is she's asking him to hand her the face scrub or the face soap or some kind of specific soap, and he doesn't know which one is the right kind of soap, and he doesn't know. She's telling him it's the green and not the green. It's in the small one, not in the blue. And then she finally is frustrated that he doesn't know which one, and she yells at him, "Acquaint yourself with the soaps!"
And he's like, "They literally don't have any labels on them."
Right. And she's like, "Acquaint yourself with the soaps." And then the other one wasn't really, the quote isn't that great, but the delivery of the line was just perfect. When she's coming out of the house and he points up above her and says, "There's a poof on the roof." And she says, "What?" And he goes, "There's a poof on the roof." And then he like screams it, like in this, like the acting, the delivery of that line, "A poof on the roof," is just absolutely perfect. So well done. So well delivered. Absolutely genius. I thought the whole thing was great, and I think the key word that you said is exactly right, which is that both of them are so relatable, you know, and how she's like, "I'm thinking about being vegetarian again." Like, just so great. They're like, you totally see yourself in them, and it's funny because you know you're as much of an idiot as they are.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I really think they did a great job of believably having the world collapsing around them just outside of their view.
Mm-hmm.
Like they hear gunshots, they're like, "Ah, it's probably fine," or there's a guy running to them, but they have their eyes closed, and they're in the middle of a lake, and then he just gets pulled off into the woods.
Right.
Yeah.
That's another great scene when they're sitting on the when they hear the gunshots and they're like, "Must be hunting season."
Yeah, and you hear somebody scream. Right. Like, "They're probably fine."
Yeah, I like that. And the scene where they both jump out of the canoe is, I mean, everything about this movie is worth seeing.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend it.
Really well made, yeah. All right, so let's move on to listener notes, questions, and answer. Mystery Gobble wrote us several times this week. Now, most of the stuff he wrote us about we've already covered in news and so forth and so on. But he came at us, he said, "Hey, this new Snoopy show is looking really promising on Apple TV." To which what? I said, "What's Apple TV?
What's this now?
Who has Apple TV?"
What?
The only person I knew who had Apple TV, Penn Ketchum, doesn't have Apple TV anymore.
I had it for like a week.
Yeah. I mean, what?
What?
Does the Mystery Gobble have Apple TV? Is it him and Joel Codes keeping this alive?
Yes, it absolutely is. What's the Snoopy show?
I guess they're making a new Snoopy Peanuts cartoon. I saw some stills, and it looks like the old cartoon, just like smoother.
Snoopy in Space.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Apple TV Snoopy.
I don't even know where to start in this. I don't know whether to address the issue of the Mystery Gobble watching Apple TV. Although I have to admit, Amy has made a comment a number of times lately. She wants to get Apple. She wants to get it back.
Really?
Yeah.
Every time she does that, do you take her temperature to make sure she doesn't have COVID?
I just added to the list of things. We almost got kayaks. The funniest things are the truest ones. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, my word.
And it could still happen. So if you want to go kayaking with me, let me know. podcast@penncinema.com. We also got a note today from a couple different people texted me.
Oh.
Saying, "Hey, what the hell? Where's my show? Where's the episode?" So apologies for the little bit of delay. I was out of town getting my ass kicked by my coach this weekend and had a good time in so doing.
But you had a good attitude because you remember what I always tell you.
Yeah, please repeat right? It. Tell us.
It's like, you only lose the things you don't win. So there you go.
What other inspirational do you know? Because I have another inspirational one to share with you. You okay, ready?
Hit me.
My football coach told us, all my friends have heard me say this a million times, so I apologize if there's anyone who's heard this before, but it's one of the all-time great halftime inspirational speeches in the history of football.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're getting our butts kicked, I think, by Berkshire. We're at halftime taking a knee on the field. Oof. And Coach LaPlante, old Jerry, and I verified this at our 30th high school reunion. I had the good fortune to bump into Jerry LaPlante, the all-time famous high school football coach from Suffield. And I told Jerry the story that I'm about to tell you. And I said, Jerry, is this a true story? And he goes, oh, yeah, I use that line a lot. And I was so happy because right then and there at that reunion, he verified all kinds of crazy stories that I've been telling Amy for years. And I've told them so many times that I started to wonder if they were true or if I, like, over the course of time, I embellished them and made them up. And he was remembering stories before I was. So I know that he wasn't just, like, agreeing with me. So anyway, here's a great inspiration. David Moulton, a minute ago, said, "You only lose the races you don't win."
Yeah.
That's deep. Jerry LaPlante said 30 years ago, "You boys may be small, but you're slow."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so
that was
crazy.
The same football team that always went for two after a touchdown, not because we were trying to run up the score, but because we didn't have anybody on the team that could kick an extra point. True story. All right, David, let's wrap this mess up. What are we watching? What are we reading? You got a couple things on your list. I got one.
Okay. I'm watching The Boys, season two.
Yeah.
It's great. It's crazy. I don't want to say if it's great. I'm enjoying it. It's crazy. People's heads are literally exploding by the dozens. We don't know why. One more episode for this season. I'm pumped because I want to know why people's heads are exploding.
If one more person tells me how great The Boys is, I'm going to have to start watching it. Because I'm more and more, like, I'm bumping into friends and we're, like, hanging out and they're like, dude, you seen The Boys? Oh, so good.
And you know, you need to always ask them, are they back in town? Why are they back in town? Every time. That's your new comeback, all right?
You're awful. You're just so bad.
Literally the worst. I'm also,
I suspect you're reading something too, because I know you're an avid reader.
I am. I'm also reading Empire of Storms by Sarah J. Maas, which is book 6 or 7 in the series of The Throne of Glass. I'm enjoying it. It's starting to get a little predictable series-wise, but only one more book and the series is over. So I'm in for the win, as they say.
I've been watching Young Wallander.
What in the world is Young Wallander, and is it not just a guy?
It's a good show. It's not a great show. It's do you remember a number of months ago in the quarantine I told you about a series I was watching called Marcella?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is a lot like that. And the reason why I say that is because partly it's like that because it takes place. It doesn't take place in Great Britain. I think it takes place in, like, maybe Sweden. But anyway, they all have those, like, kind of cool accents. It's also like Marcella because every episode is it's not awesome. So you don't, like, love watching it. But it's good enough that you, like, do want to know what's going to happen next.
Okay.
You know, and at the end of every episode, I mean, I haven't watched the whole season yet, so I can't vouch for the whole thing. But so far, it seems like at the end of every episode, young Wallander gets his butt kicked and sort of blacks out. And that's the end of the episode. And then the beginning of the next episode is him, like, coming to. Like, either on the side of a road somewhere or in a hospital bed or, like, whatever. And then they have to sort of piece together what happened to him. He's trying to solve a crime. I have my own theories about the crime. And that's pretty much the only reason why I'm still watching it is because I do want to know, like, what happens.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, Young Wallander, I do recommend it. Amy and I are also watching The Young Pope, which we are enjoying very much. And I think I told you last week about the Instant Hotel show. So we're still enjoying that. So
nice.
There's some at-home viewing pleasure. And of course, at the movies this week, we have a hotly anticipated War with Grandpa.
Oh, this is
starring
one of the ones...
Robert De Niro.
I kept forgetting to put the trailer on trailers for the show, and we did not miss much. So
I'm going to just tell you that nobody who's listening to this podcast is going to want to come see War with Grandpa. But if you have kids or nephews or nieces or whatever, like it does look like it's going to be a funny kids movie.
Yeah.
I will also want to mention, and again, I'm not trying to shamelessly promote, but I'm just also trying to mention because I know people will be interested. We're working our way through the entire Harry Potter franchise. So this week we have Harry Potter 4 and Harry Potter 5 both playing at Penn Cinema in Lititz and Huntington Valley. And we also are bringing back Coco, the great Disney, I believe that's a Pixar film, opens this week. And we're excited about that.
But you also have St. Maud. That's this week.
St. Maud, yep.
Right? And you've got two throwback, what are these, Phantom events?
Yep.
Yep. So we got Total Recall's 30th anniversary and Psycho, 1960.
Psycho. The original Psycho. Yeah. That should be good.
So I think next week we're going to watch what? Total Recall?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's sort of the obvious choice, eh?
I'm down. I'm down to clown.
Now. You got me. I didn't see it coming. All right. You got me. Now, if anybody listening to this wants to see Total Recall, the 30th anniversary presentation, it's playing at Penn Cinema on Saturday night at 7 p.m.
Okay.
So this is a Fathom event, which means it's not playing every day. So there are still some tickets left, but if you really want to see Total Recall in the movie theater, it plays on Saturday night, October 10th at 7 p.m., and you can get tickets through penncinema.com. And we will watch it, and we will talk about it. That's our movie next week, eh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, I have to tell you, I've seen this movie, but I bet you I haven't seen it in 25 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the last time I saw this. I probably saw they made a remake of it, didn't they?
I don't know.
I think I saw that.
I did not see a remake. I'm telling you that the last time I saw this movie, I was a legit child.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All
like
right.
Like early teenage years, I would have to say.
You know what
say.
That means? You can't skip it because you won't be able to remember it.
can't fake it.
Can't fake this one.
Total Recall came out in 1990, so I must have been a little bit older than a child, but I was a kid. We'll just put it that way.
I gotcha. All right, so that about wraps us up. If you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. You can write us at podcast.
Well, you would love to hear from them.
I would love to hear from them.
I got other stuff to do.
Whoa! Someone's busy. I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. I have to tell you, when we get a letter from a listener, it's the highlight of my day.
It's pretty great.
Right? And then right? We all get excited. And if it's really responds. Good, sometimes we text each other about it.
That's true. So the best way to get in touch with us is podcast@penncinema.com. That's number one way to communicate with us about whatever you want. But there's one way that you could really help us out. Help us help you. And that is by stepping out your door and doing what, Penn?
Tell a friend.
Yeah. Just tell a friend.
The hot new trend in 2020 was people were typing up flyers, like writing up artistic flyers, and then taping them to their neighbors' doors.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like what the cool kids are doing right now. So if you want to do that, you could go ahead and do that.
I feel like we're one step away from masks that say, ask me about the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yes.
Exactly. Right? So that's the number one way to help us. So we really appreciate it. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm Penn Ketchum.
And I'm David Moulton. Take care and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.